There's a big snake in the plane, Jock!
Oh, that's just my pet snake, Reggie!
I hate snakes, Jock! I hate them!
Come on, show a little backbone, will ya?
And of course, the music gives that one away. That's Indiana Jones. And if you're living with someone who has a phobia, or if you're living with yourself and you've got a phobia, whether it's a fear of heights, fear of getting into elevators, fear of claustrophobia, being in enclosed spaces, or agoraphobia, fear of going out in public, agora means the marketplace, then you can give me a call right now. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. My show's The Rational Basis of Happiness. My number's toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. That's toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. K-E-N-N-E-R. So what do you do if you have a bug phobia or a snake phobia? Well, right now I'm sitting with a dragonfly in front of me. It is a beautiful dragonfly. Unfortunately, it's dead and dried. It died in my greenhouse. I tried to save it, but couldn't find it, and came back and it was on the floor. I save these bugs because when I work with people who have bug phobias, they need to get used to touching bugs, seeing bugs. Instead of avoiding bugs, you need the opposite approach. And so I collect bugs. I don't collect lots of bugs, but I have a nice little sampling. And of course, now I have a huge dragonfly. So if you've got a phobia, it's too bad if you let yourself live with it, because especially with cognitive therapy, you can lift that phobia and really enjoy your life a lot more. It expands your scope of living if you can get rid of an irrational phobia that you have. Okay, right before the break, I was talking about how to clean your room. You know, what do parents do with the clean your room problem? And I mentioned a book, How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk. That book is by Adele Faber and Elaine Maslisch. And I have that book, plus there are other books and a lot more good stuff on my website, drkenner.com. That's drkenner.com. I also mentioned that it got an email from a young teenager, a 17-year-old, who wants to know what to do with the boys in her life. Now, I'm going to read her email. I can't highlight everything that she does, but this is typical teenage-ese in the sense of the way she writes. Now, I know people abbreviate things when they're always typing on instant messages, so I'll get cut her some slack for that, but her English is awful. It's hi, H-Y, doctor, D-R. Well, this is low, no capitals, not even on the I's. I need an advice from you. An advice. There's no apostrophe between the I and the M. I'm a 17-year-old girl who is asked from a lot of boys to be their girls. The two is obviously a numeral. My problem is the one I like so much asked me out, and nothing, I won't even try to spell that for you, happened until now between us. I accept to be the girl of a guy who likes me, and I like a little just to have fun. Then I broke up with him because I can't play with his feelings. I'm confused. I need a guy who respect me and love me. I'm confused. I don't know, D-O-N-N-O, who I can accept with. Help me and teach me how to make a decision in my life, because I'm always confused. Thank you for your time. I'm waiting for your answer. Morgan. Morgan, at the age of 17, you're asking the right question. But it's not about the boys, but about what is the proper way to make decisions in my life. How do I think rationally? Now, that's a fundamental question. And notice you also have a desire for integrity. You're saying, I don't want to play with his feelings. So that is very good in you. That's one of the ways that you make decisions, is to notice that you don't want to deceive people. You don't want to be stringing men along or boys along. So whether it's choosing your boyfriends, Morgan, or choosing a hobby, or choosing a career, or choosing whether to go to college or not, choosing whether to go to school or not, or whether to take drugs or not, or choosing whether to obey your parents or rebel or think independently, you need to know how to choose. Now, your happiness depends on this, Morgan. This is not a minor issue. This is why you go to school. You go to school to think. When we study scientists in school, we're studying how they think. When we learn math, we're learning a logical way of addressing reality, of addressing the facts. When you learn how to read, it totally expands your scope of thinking and of making decisions. You read about how other people make decisions. So what I recommend is that you pay a lot more attention instead of to the guys, which you're not going to not pay attention to the guys. You're 17 years old. I understand that. And that's a part of what's fun in life. But train your mind to think. To think even about these guys, especially about these guys, because you don't want to end up pregnant with multiple men. I mean, pregnant with one man and have a baby and then another man. And you want to drive your life in a good path for yourself that leads to your own happiness. So what I recommend is taking your mind much more seriously, taking your schooling much more seriously. Learn about scientists, learn about how they thought. Learn how to introspect. That means turning your thought processes inward on the contents and processes of your own mind. Asking yourself, what's going through my mind now and why? Keeping a journal or a diary helps, but you try to gain self-knowledge. Knowledge of how your own mind works. When you have emotions, don't just assume you're at the mercy of your emotions. What cognitive therapy gives all of us is the ability to decode emotions, to take anger and to know that that means that things aren't fair, to take sadness and to know that that's an indicator that we're experiencing a loss, to take anxiety and to know that that means we're dealing with uncertainties in our life. Most people will go to their graves never knowing how to decode their own emotions, how to make sense of their inner world. So in order to make sense of your outer world, you first need to learn how to introspect, to make sense of your inner world. So here's what I recommend. I recommend you get the book, The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand, because that woke me up. That was a call for me to say, oh my gosh, I don't know how to use my own mind. And then I started, I read Atlas Shrugged, and by that point I just loved using my own mind. I went back to school and got my PhD after having been a housewife for many years. So you want to jumpstart yourself in a similar way. You want to make yourself lovable, someone you admire. And that comes way before dating. Then after, I mean, you'll be dating anyway, but you want to work on that simultaneously anyway. Be very selective in the guys that you choose. Look for good character traits, not just necessarily for good looks. That's important, but it's not the fundamental, but good character traits. And I hope that helps. And there are good books. There's another one on my website. I mentioned a book earlier. My website is drkenner.com, but it's Get a Life, Then Get a Man. And it's a book by Jennifer Borden, and it's a playful book. It's a very easy, friendly read, and it's very encouraging. So I hope that helps you, and good luck with that. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. If you're struggling with any concerns in your life, whether it's an elderly parent or whether it's with yourself, you're depressed or you're anxious or you're procrastinating, you can pick up the phone and give me a call. My number's toll free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. I'm a clinical psychologist, and although it's not therapy, I love taking your calls. And my show's The Rational Basis of Happiness. And coming up, we are going to, one listener says that her romantic attention has strayed away from her husband and onto a student who is 10 years younger than she is. She's married, she's a mom, and she's fallen in love with a kid at school. What does she do? That threatens her career, her marriage, and her self-image. Dr. Ellen Kenner on The Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Dr. Ellen Kenner.
Most of us believe we are good listeners, but few of us actually listen well. Signs of poor listening include focusing on irrelevant issues, selectively hearing what you want to hear and avoiding some important point, wishful hearing, jumping to conclusions, tuning out, interrupting your partner, and changing the topic. In contrast, active listening requires that you be courteous. Do not interrupt or jump in with attacks. Listen with fully focused attention. Avoid mental drifting. Temporarily set aside your own thoughts and responses to grasp what your partner is saying, and clearly indicate that you are listening. This requires good eye contact and occasionally letting your partner know that you are following by saying, uh-huh, or I see.
You can download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.